We have Ron James on the line.
Yes,
is that
we
correct?
Yep.
Well, I've lost his paperwork. I've lost everything because he's all out of sequence. All I know is that he's Canada's funniest fisherman, if not Canada's funniest person. Good morning, Ron.
Angela, how are you? Boy, you're slumming now. You had a Harvard physics prof, and now you're with this act.
Hey, do we know how to position you or what?
Nice segue. Perfect. I'm always on a double bill with that dude.
and now you're talking to somebody who is toxic or corrosive, I guess.
Did he say you were corrosive? I didn't hear the interview. I was I'm sorry, I missed that. I was online with some technical help, Eastlink in Nova Scotia for my place. I rented it out and people can't get online. So there you go.
No.
I should know my password by now, and I should know more than I do, but I don't. But clearly, this physics prof informed you of some tunnel vision. You were
apparently. I'm gonna, when I get off the air, I'm gonna maybe have to call my.
Did you tell him there's no such thing as global warming?
Oh. Oh God! If I hadn't told him that, he'd have freaked right out on me, Rod.
All right then. Yeah. Well, there is, because I've been to the Arctic and there's animals showing up there like Noah's Ark dropped them off at the wrong beach. So everything's upside down. Yeah.
All right. Talk to me. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have to put you on hold. Now that we finally got you, I'm not going to let you go. You know that, right?
All right, Ben. Fair enough.
I have to take a quick break, and then we will be right back. I want to find out what you've been doing since you've been on the program last. I know you love fishing.
I believe, was it last summer? It was last summer. Oh, no, the summer before, I was heading out mackerel fishing.
Exactly. So sit tight,
my
friend.
I've been up to the north. I canoed a tributary of the Nahanni River last summer called the Broken Skull, and
whoa.
I caught bull trout, Dolly Varden, and grayling. It was a fantastic trip.
Wow. I want to hear all about it and much
okay,
more.
Brother.
Sit tight for a minute. Ron James on the line, Canada's funniest man on Outdoor Journal Radio. Don't you dare miss it. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Angelo Viola, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandale, and Jessica Ellis at your beck and call this wonderful weekend. I want to remind folks before we get on to our special guest, Ron James, who's on the line with us, I want to remind you about the Canadian Ice Fishing Expo that takes place on December 14th and 15th. If you don't already know about it, get the crayon out, mark up the calendar, just like I do, and you don't want to miss those 2 days. It is the biggest ice fishing extravaganza in the nation. In the nation. The biggest ice fishing extravaganza in the country. It's called the Canadian Ice Fishing Expo, and it takes place December 14th and 15th at Georgian College in Barrie, Ontario. And here's the best part of all, folks. The best part, you know, you're always looking for deals. You're always saying, everything is so overpriced. Why is it so expensive? They say that. People say that.
Oh, yeah.
I hear it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, for $8, $8, not 10, not 9, $8 gets you in the gate, and it includes your parking. And you get a chance at some great prizes. There is absolutely no reason not to go to Barrie at Georgian College on December 14th and or 15th. Make it a two-day event. That's the way to go. Make it a two-day event. There are over 50 exhibitors there, many of them with the latest in ice fishing technology.
I might go after the show.
And gear. Huh?
I might go after the show.
All right.
Some prizes.
Did you have to interrupt me? I'm in the middle of the read.
Sorry.
What time do you want to go?
After the radio show.
All right. And it's best of all, it's just in time for Christmas. Each day will feature some of the top ice fishing people in the country, including our very own Gord Pizer. The Doc will be there, along with Will Wegman, David Chong, just to name a few, all taking place at Georgian College right off the 400, just a stone's throw from the most popular ice fishing mecca in the world, Lake Simcoe.
Yes.
So while you're there, take the opportunity to go out and do a little ice fishing. Sounds like a great deal to me.
Me too.
December 14th, 15th at Georgian College. You can find out more information if you need. CanadianIceFishingExpo.com. That's CanadianIceFishingExpo.com. I believe you can get advance tickets there so that you're not disappointed.
Yep.
And you're good to go. All right. Did we do a good job on that one?
Yes, I think we did good.
All right. Let's see if the professional agrees. Ron James on the line with us. He is, well, arguably, maybe I should remove the word arguably, Canada's top comedian. Right, Ron?
Well, I don't like to plant that flag, but I have been on the road filling theaters for 20 years from coast to coast. So I built it 1 kilometer, 1 gig at a time, brother, and it's been very rewarding.
And let's not forget the fact that us talking about awards and award winning, you won a Genie, a Gemini, and Canadian Comedian of the Year. So
that's there's been some nice stuff that's come my way over the years. I have the dubious honor of being nominated for a Canadian Screen Award for my second last special, where I competed with PK Subban, believe it or not.
In what? You competed with him in what?
I competed with PK Subban at the Canadian Screen Awards. This is how bizarre they are. He hosted a Montreal Just for Laughs gala, and he won. He won, and his nose was really at a joint when I picked up the MVP last year in the NHL. So there you go.
Good for
That's you. Celebrity will get you, brother.
No kidding. No,
I'm dying to run into him someday and asking him how his stand-up career is going.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, what is the best about the work is traveling live. You're backstage. You got 1,000 or 2,000 people in a theater. But I'll play theaters from, anywhere from 400 seats to 2,000. And you can just feel the audience coming in, and it's electric. It's like the opening day of duck season.
I know the feeling, man. Do you ever get, yes, we do all these things because obviously that's what we do for a living. That's how we make our money. That's how we feed the family. However, throwing all that aside, is there a more incredible feeling than you're pushing that curtain aside and walking out and knowing that, I equate it to free falling out of an airplane.
That's an excellent analogy. Yeah, that's an excellent analogy. The more jumps you have, the more proficient you become at landing on the dot far below. And, but these are the things that you have to hone over a career, whether in the clubs mostly the clubs or doing benefits and such, because you have to fail. And you don't want to fail jumping out of a plane, but you've got to fail at what you do and then do your homework when you come back and say, okay, that worked, that didn't work, jettison that. Yeah. And it's a trade. People call it a profession, but I would call it a trade because it's, the first hammer a carpenter picks up, he doesn't build a mansion. And the first great set a comedian has, he doesn't become a pro. And so you just have to keep going.
Ron, tell me this, if you would, please. I can't speak for you. I'm certainly going to speak for me on this one. As we get more advanced in the age, in the timeline, if you will,
right?
I have to ask you this question: what's the biggest difference you find doing stand-up comedy today versus when you were breaking in, 30 years ago into the business, being a young man full of vim and vinegar? What's the biggest differences you find between then and today?
Well, that's an excellent question, actually, and I would have to say that it's how the world has become more fractured along partisan lines. When I started out, I remember my second special was in Calgary during the Calgary and during the Alberta and Saskatchewan centennial.
Yeah.
That was way back in 2006. And it was just at the height of the Gomer inquiry. And, there's always been sensitivities in the West with the East, which is far more volatile now than it's ever been, maybe since the national energy policy of Trudeau. But, I could hit Ralph Klein and Kretchen equally. Ralph Klein, of course, your listeners will remember, had the notorious quote of "let the Eastern bastards freeze in the dark," right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And people would laugh. And I could still skirt around what at that point in time was issues about, Canada and where the West sat. And today you can't. And it's not just in the West. It's in a lot of places.
It's everywhere.
So I think you have to be a little more cautious as to how you tip the apple cart, because you could learn lose a third of the room. That being said, I've never been a comedian really who wants to polarize a room. I like people to be leaving that room feeling a hell of a lot lighter than when they walked in, because I think it's our job as comedians to connect the dots and the chaos we're all walking through and the language of laughs, and maybe to carry the knapsack on the life journey for a while. Because, you know, if a guy and his wife and their friends have spent $60 on a ticket for me after a hard week's work, they're really there to laugh. Yeah. And that's why my show isn't overtly political, but it lands on an awful lot of different bases. You know, I'm covering everything from midlife to playing hockey growing up to generational difference to the nanosecond pace of change with technology, and how every one of us seems like we're spinning in one spot, running as fast as we can. So I cover a lot of bases, and I do a 2-hour show. So I have far more material to choose from these days than I did when I was starting out.
Yeah, and what I love about you is that, basically listening to your, we'll call it monologue or whatever script, whatever you call it, listening to you, it's really, you're one of Canada's greatest storytellers. I mean, people don't realize.
Oh, my gosh, thank you. Isn't that kind of you? Thank you. I've had a few classic one-liners that have, you know, stayed the test of time, like, I ordered a sandwich on Air Canada. The bun came hard as the hobs of hell, with a slice of ham in the middle so thin the pig never even felt it coming off his arse. So, you know, right? Or they smoke in Quebec like it's a cure for cancer. Every now and then there's a classic that stays the test of time. But for the most part, I do like to have a beginning, middle, and an end. That's what's tough about the corporate gigs, you know? Yeah. Steve Martin said that distraction is the death of comedy, and it's so true. I had a corporate gig last night, 1,000 people at the Royal York, and the stage was set up in a way where the lines of the room were poor. There were giant screens in front of me. There were people walking back in front of the stage like it was a club, but I couldn't play it like a club because there were 1,000 people in this vast ballroom. So the adhesive that is laughter is sometimes compromised in a big room like that. Where in a theater, for sure, it's the best. It's a cocoon. I mean, there's so many sweet rooms across this nation. I just love playing the Confederation Center and PEI. Oh, the sweet little room at Kingston has got a great one. Belleville's got a great room. The Empire, and nice. These are anywhere between 600 and 1,200 seat theaters, and everybody comes to laugh. And when they buy a ticket to your show, they know what they're getting. And it's your job as a comedian each time. I have these 2-year windows when I come around. Mm-hmm. But mind you, there's a couple of gigs I'm playing in Ontario this winter, like Hamilton and Sault Ste. Marie, that I haven't been in years.
Love both those places.
Hamilton, my gosh, that's. My daughter and I went to see Billy Connolly there when she was first year university. Oh my gosh, that must be about 15 years ago now. And I remember watching him. He was 64 years old at the time. The poor guy's been very ill with Parkinson's these last couple of years, and I believe he's on his way out. But he was an inspiration to me, and he was 65 years old and had 2 hours and 20 minutes, and just ripped that room apart. And you know what? It was his people. It was his tribe. It was Scottish expats who came over for the post-war dream and in the Hammer. And they were people who I say like to put their pants on one leg at a time. You want to hear some sphincter snap, and try playing for the Bay Street High Rollers. That's where you don't get too many laughs. But anyway, I saw Billy Connolly do that show, and I thought, boy, when I'm that age, I want to be doing the same thing. And I'm 61 now, 62 at the end of January. And I'll tell you something, brother. When I'm on the road, when I'm going from theater to theater and they're packed, I'm revitalized. I feel bulletproof and 25 years old again.
Yeah, I love hearing that, man. I'm with you on that.
Angelo, isn't it? That's it about getting older, right? I mean, you have to still stay engaged with what you love. And just to segue to the importance of your show, when we talk about Outdoor Canada, My dad taught me the virtue. Well, he didn't so much teach me, but I assimilated through osmosis when I would go fishing with him or walking in the woods when I was a young man with my 16-gauge bringing down a partridge or looking for some rabbits or going deer hunting with him in Nova Scotia. This was a man who was a feisty, high-strung Newfoundlander who bounced around the house like an atom from a slingshot. But when he was in the woods, he channeled his inner Ojibwe, brother, and he was still. He could sit in a stump for an hour and a half and not move other than have that cup of tea we brought in the thermos waiting for the deer to break the hardwood.
And those are special.
I return time and time and time again to nature to revitalize my battery, to recharge it.
Those are special moments, man. I'm sure as you were relaying that to us, I'm sure everybody listening that has had a similar experience, all of a sudden you conjure up those images. That's what I love about the outdoors. That's what I love about fishing, is that once you start sharing your personal experiences with somebody, they automatically start painting their own picture, and it is absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
Well, it connects us. It's unifying, and it resonates, you know? I mean, I never took my daughter hunting when she was 15 years old. We canoed the Tilon Game Sanctuary way up in the Barren Lands because I was a kid growing up reading Farley Mowat, and I was a buddy of Farley's in his later years. He used to go visit him in Port Hope, and he was a cantankerous old fella, and he didn't suffer fools, and so when he let you in his house for a drink of rum before 11 o'clock in the morning, I was a happy camper. But anyway, I read Two Against the North when I was in grade 7, and I read it again and again. And when I finally got to the Barren Lands, it was magical, you know. I mean, we saw white wolves. And the caribou were healthy then. Caribou population has plummeted. Do you know that Canada has no endangered species protection? You know, and there's nobody in Ottawa that's doing anything about this demise of caribou. And it's being affected by climate change and by resource extraction. And it's remarkable because I saw the caribou in those days, 15 years ago, summer past, in groups of 30 and 40, because the big migrations were just starting. And now that Beverly caribou herd has taken a nosedive. I think it's down 70%. My daughter and I still talk about those days, and I try to get to Canada's north every couple of years, and or even if it is just 3 hours north to do some ice fishing in northern Ontario. I just I love the winter. Everybody's heading down to Florida, and I'm just looking at my snowshoes the other day, and I can't wait to go winter camping in Algonquin.
Speaking of which, last New Year's Eve, if I get this correctly, your show, The High Road, was an amazing success. You may not know this, but I'm one of those freaks who loves numbers. I love watching the sometimes embarrassing even to me, but I love watching the audience numbers for programs, television, radio, et cetera. I'm a big freak on that, and I know you did extremely well. That High Roads program on CBC was
1.5 million viewers 3 years in a row on New Year's Eve.
We had
four specials. We owned the time slot at 9 o'clock, and actually it was time goes fast. It was the year before last they canceled us. And I don't know why, Angelo, and I mean, you know, I could probably play the age card if I wanted to.
Sure.
But, you know, I believe it's a comedian's job to rock the apple cart as well as a little bit. And I locked horns on a few Trump jokes with them, but I don't think it was that. I just think they saw the and it's very, very hard to figure the CBC out. I was happy to be there for the years I was. But it's very Byzantine. And, I mean, you know, you'd get a straighter answer staring at the Sphinx, it's a complex place. Anyway, we were canceled, and I don't know why.
I have to ask you the obvious question, but I have to take a quick break as well. And to the other guests who were pushing down the timeline, I do apologize.
That's all right.
Be patient.
I'm no Harvard physics prof, brother.
Sit tight for a second, would you, Ron? Ron James on the line with us. We'll be back with more Journal right after this. Don't you dare go away. Good morning, everybody.
More about a guest you heard on the radio? Maybe you're out fishing and missed an episode. Want to catch up? Well, now you can. Facebook.com/Fishin' Canada to learn more about your favorite outdoor shows, Fishin' Canada Television, and Outdoor Journal Radio. Search the archive and download hundreds of radio episodes. Like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at ODJ Radio. And, of course, listen live, the Outdoor Journal Radio Show. More than ever, your definitive guide to the great outdoors.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Angelo Viola, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis here at Command Central. We will guide you through the outdoors. Online with us, a very special man, to say the least. Before we get to him, I'm talking about Ron James. Before we get to him, my apologies go out to Andrew Weiner. He's an author of a fly fishing book for kids. And we unfortunately will not have time to get to him. We'll get him on a subsequent show. But you can check him out. Go to downbytheriverbook.com. That's the name of the new book, downbytheriverbook.com. Also, our apologies to the groomer guy, Luke Levesque from Drubalville, Ontario. So we'll have to get him on.
Been one of those shows.
One of those shows. Hey, you know what? You do the best you can with what God gives you every single day.
We jump off the plane every
morning.
That's
right.
We hit the ground. That means we're...
That's right.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyways, Ron, so I have to throw this at you.
Yeah.
I have to throw this at you. You talked about CBC, and you talked about maybe age, and you talked about disappointment and being canceled. You talked about all those things. I have to ask you, what's your opinion on the Donald Cherry firing?
Well, look, Angelo, I know some of your look, I'm not wading into that. It's a no-win situation for me anyway. I thought that he was an anachronism and that he wore out his welcome and that he was polarizing, not uniting in his opinions. Yep.
Okay.
That's my opinion right there. And
okay.
I thought Ron McLean's mea culpa was as best as could be delivered. Some people weren't on the fence about that at all. But anyway, there you go.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of they had a good run with him and he made a great deal of money. So I don't think anybody lost except for the people who identified a form of patriotism with Don's polarizing opinions, which I didn't.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, I don't want to bemoan my cancellation on the CBC and sound like sour grapes because I did have a good run there. However, I think what's important, you know, when things change is to continue to adapt and to continue to move forward with your passions. And after cancellation, it didn't do a darn thing to my numbers in terms of filling the theaters across the country. In fact, I just had a sold-out tour across British Columbia in the fall, and I'm heading back out again in the spring. And there's something to be said about working live, Angelo, that television, despite its reach, just can't – and this is the – this is the hidden secret, you know. It just doesn't reach people in the same visceral way that working live does. And it's, you know, as the world gets increasingly fractured and polarized and we become immersed in the internet or Facebook and community is compromised, that's what's great about an evening of comedy. And I close my shows with saying, and thanks for coming to see where comedy sings the loudest, live. And it's true because you're sitting shoulder to shoulder with a stranger, perhaps, and everybody's laughing together. And as says, the world gets increasingly fractured. You've got people from all different walks of life laughing at the same joke, which gives me hope that we're that it's not all going to hell in a handcart. I'm trying to hit that point in my book. I've got a book coming out with Random House. I don't think you knew that last time.
No.
Yeah, I've got a book out called All Over the Map, and it comes out October 2020. And I'm just putting the finishing touches on it now, and it's a long process to get it to the shelf. But, yeah, they approached me several years ago to write this book, and I was busy with the specials and the series. And so now I've had the time just to sit down. And really, it's an embrace of people and place and the virtues of traveling this country. It's about where I've been and what I've seen, whether it's through family growing up on the East Coast or the benefits of living in Ontario and all the people that I've met in my travels, these people that fly below the radar, that before everybody was face first in their iPhones, people's heads were up and they spoke to me. And it was well before I had any notoriety with television. And they would just tell me about their lives, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's a celebration of traveling this country in all kinds of weather and the people whom I've met either at bars or coffee shops or in lineups. It's remarable how diverse the country is and how everybody has their own story.
Oh, for
so
sure.
I was given a window on so many worlds, and I thought I owe it to them to celebrate it. And so it's their book as much as it is mine.
Tell us once again, what's it called, the book?
It's called All Over the Map.
Okay.
And by the way, if any of your listeners want to attend any shows this winter, you can go to my website or just go on Facebook, and all my dates are listed there.
I was just going to ask you, how many gigs are you planning on doing in the coming year? How many do you do a year?
Well, you know, the country's only so big. You know, there's 37 million people here. There's 375 million people in the States.
Right.
You can throw a stick in northern New York and hit 20 theaters. I do anywhere between, I would say, about 50 and 60 live dates a year. And I would do a heck of a lot more if the country were bigger. And then, you know, every now and then you'll throw in, I would say amongst that, there's probably half a dozen to 10 corporate gigs. And so I keep busy with that. But there's nobody who's strung their trap line quite like we did. In fact, we got out, and I don't mind putting this feather in our cap because it's a shout out to Terry McRae of Shantero Productions, Shantero. And we started blazing this trail 20 years ago in April, and Just for Laughs wasn't even out then. And then I remember the night they came to see me at the Center Point in Ottawa, and it was our third sold out show of 1,100 people, and they hadn't been out yet, and they came to see me, and Just for Laughs was still a grail at the time for me. And they said, you do this all the time? I said, oh yeah. Next year they were out, all sorts of corporate sponsors, all sorts of federal largesse. And it was like I told them about a good fishing hole.
No kidding.
And then, you know, you go back the next year, there were no boats in the fishing hole the first year. The next year you go back, there's 15, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, competition is competition. And but the country has been very rewarding and just the best place to tour. And, of course, every single turn, there's nature, you know?
I just have one complaint, if I could throw it in here. You know, I just wish you were able to, I don't know, come out of your shell and not be such an introvert and maybe articulate more on yourself. Could you imagine if we could get Ron out of a shell? Could you just imagine what we get? You are an absolute... You're an absolute a dream to interview. By the way, I'm sure you've been told that many a time. But you're just also a wonderful Canadian. Not to mention outdoors. Quickly tell us about that insane paddling expedition you were on.
It was fantastic. I took a course up in Magnetawan this summer for canoeing, and I'd never done class two or early or class three whitewater before, and we canoed a tributary of the Nahanni River called the Broken Skull. So we had to line the canoes for the first little while because the it was also shallow, very hard work, grueling portages. And you know, I did halfway down, I found these sweet little pools, and I caught some bull trout. Of course, we had to release those, and I'd never caught a bull trout before, but man, they attack the line something fierce, you know.
Yeah, they're
like
cool.
A hyena on the line, and cool. Grayling, which are such great eating. Have you ever eaten grayling?
I've not. I've heard that they're fantastic eating, though. You're right.
So sweet, man. They're and I don't usually like whitefish. You know, I'm know, I'm salmon and trout and which, by the way, I'd love to. I'd love to get some good ice fishing in this this winter. And I'm going to bring my kids, too. Well, their kids, they're, you know, they're 25 and 30 with their boyfriends, too. But my girlfriend, a couple of years ago, took me fishing down in, on Lake Erie at Port Rowan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the perch weren't biting. We were in the I love the ice fishing experience. You know, it's like the dark side of Venus getting to the friggin' hut. It's so cold. And then you get in the hut, and suddenly you're in Ecuador. You know, and you're peeling off layers.
What a great experience.
It was so great. We just sat across from each other in front of six holes, laughing and drinking Fireball whiskey.
Yeah, now you're talking.
It was fantastic. It was just great. We caught one perch.
That's
and
all
then,
you
of
need.
Course, the weather changed. It was a clear day when we were catching the perch, and then, of course, the weather changed. The barometric pressure dropped. The next couple of days, and they were bringing in, you know, 30 in a sitting, right? So,
well, my friend, I too may get fired today, having jettisoned three perfectly good guests.
Oh, darn.
To keep you on the line, but you're a very special person. I wanted to. It's been a couple of years, so I wanted to make sure we.
God
had a
bless
good,
you, Angelo. Thank you very much. I hope we get an opportunity to sit face to face sometime and show fish pictures. You know, and I caught a monster trout at the foot of this mountain in Atlin, B.C., in Atlin Lake, and I got it stopped, and it's the ugliest friggin' thing I've ever seen, but it's proof positive that I did catch it. So
what is it? What is it?
It's a big lake trout.
Oh, wow. Oh. Cool.
It was a big 21-pound lake trout, and, you know, it's almost like you're bringing up something from the bottom of the Sopranos episodes. I mean, you don't even know. You don't even know it's gone, right? And you go, hey, look at that.
There you have it, buddy. His name is Rod James. You can check him out at ronjames.ca. You can see where he's playing, a venue near you. I know January 4th, for example, you're going to be...
Oh, that's a big gig. I'm doing a big gig raising money for a cultural center in Stratford. That's at the Avon Theater. And it's
nice.
It's not a, you know, it's in Stratford, but it's not, you know, it's not Stratford. It's me doing stand-up, and it's catering to everybody in all the surrounding areas. Then my own tour starts in February across Ontario, and boy, oh boy, I'm looking forward to that. I'll tell you, hitting the highways and byways of Ontario in the dead of winter in my trusty 99 4Runner, just living the Canadian dream, brother.
Yeah, baby. Now you're talking. He'll be in Gravenhurst, Meaford, Guelph, among other places. You can check them all out at ronjames.ca. Ron, you take care, my friend. All the best to you for the festive season and New
Thank
Year.
Thank you, sir.
Out. All right.
And I'm looking forward to get a good ice fishing tip from your producer so we can go somewhere this winter.
We'll fix you up. Don't you worry.
Thanks, Angelo. You take care. Merry Christmas.
You too. Same to you. Ron James, Canada's most, I think, funniest man. Some people might argue, but we'll see.